The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after the Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 9. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all of Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. This is the gospel lesson. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message comes from Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus answered him, It is also written, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Throughout Scripture, Satan is described as being the great deceiver. Started right back in the Garden of Eden when he came to Eve in the form of a snake. And he always tempts with deception. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says, As Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Revelations 12:9 says, The devil or Satan who leads the whole world astray. Jesus would say of Satan in John chapter 8, and Jesus declared, The devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he speaks, he lies. It lies in his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan comes at us with the same approach. Always accept the lesser goal rather than the goal that God has set out for us. Each temptation is based on deception. Right now I'm listening to a course from Hillsdale College on C.S. Lewis, the great Christian author who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia. We'll try that in English. It's a story set with animals, but it is the story of Christ sacrificing himself so that he can save everyone else. And in that book, Satan portrays Satan as a white witch. Why would he use the color white? Well, the occult believes that there are good witches and bad witches, and good witches always wear white. Because white's the sign of purity and goodness. It symbolizes a cleansing power. Even Scripture uses that idea of the idea of white as being purifying in Isaiah 1:18. Though your sins are like scarlet, for they shall be as white as snow. C.S. Lewis is making the point that no matter what color Satan is, he's still wicked. Because he masquerades as being good. And throughout C.S. Lewis' books, the white witch is always nice, gentle, soft-spoken. Comes across just as a nice person. That's Satan masquerading as being good. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. In C.S. Lewis's book, he writes, It's part of the witch's magic that she can make things look like they are not. As I said, deception is Satan's chief weapon. He used it in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He used it with the people of Israel throughout their entire history, tempting them to sin. He comes to Jesus in the desert and tries to use deception, and he tries to use deception on the church today. Matthew 4 and Luke 4 both concentrate their focus on the temptation of Jesus in the desert because it follows one of the most significant events in Jesus' life, and that was his baptism. When he came up out of the water and the dove came down and rested on him, and then there was a voice from heaven that says, You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. According to Luke chapter 3, verse 23, this began Jesus' public ministry. And his first official act was to be tempted by Satan. Well, why am I spending so much time talking about Satan today? The Barna Group, they study churches and the direct what people think about a variety of subjects connected to religion. Now, back in 2001, so this study is getting a bit dated, 6 out of 10 Americans believe that Satan is only a symbol and not real. But he is real. Jesus knew him to be the ultimate enemy. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 15 says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, Jesus shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." He is real. He is the enemy. And one of his greatest deceptions is making people think he's not evil. I have seen churches of various sizes fall into this deceptive trap of Satan. When they have a great sin within the church leadership turns a blind eye to it because they're afraid of offending people. There's the way Satan gets into a church and starts to destroy it. We need to understand who the enemy is, what is his objectives, what is his motives, and what is his methods. As I said, Satan is a great deceiver, but he doesn't need to always lie. He says to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." How almost innocent that is, because Jesus had not eaten or drank for 40 days. If I miss one meal, I'm dying. I can't imagine 40 days and 40 nights. Imagine that. And Satan declares, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Of course, Jesus could have done it. Everything that was made, the scriptures tell us, was made through him. Nothing has been made that he did not make himself. But the deception of Satan is to focus on something of less priority. Jesus says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Bread is good, but the word of God is better. Satan wants Jesus to settle for something less than the best. The good things that people substitute for the things of God's kingdom. Take December 25th of this year. Now I'm going to be a little jaded maybe. But December 25th this year fell on a Sunday. And church attendance wasn't exactly what I was hoping it would be for a Sunday. But at least we had services, and that's good, and I'm thankful for those that came. But I was reading that several large churches, and I'm talking large, 5,000, 6,000 in attendance, 8,000 in attendance, and this is the one I want to talk about, required some 500 people to conduct a worship service. 500 people? Wow, I'm impressed. But they canceled church that day, and this was their reason. "It's burdensome to expect their usual workers to come in and fulfill their duties that day. After all, it is Christmas, and it would be inconvenient for them to be there." People will not show up to church because family is in town. But family is good. Spending time with family is a good thing. Giving gifts to loved ones is a good thing. But is it as good as worshiping Jesus on the day he set aside to honor him? The goal of Satan is to get us to accept the world's good things as substitute for God's best things. Satan can only succeed if we forget who he is and what his motives are. We need to remember who we are, and the source of our power. Ephesians 6:12 says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We inhabit the heavenly realms. Ephesians 2:6 tells us that God raised us up with Christ. And here's the key part. "And seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ." Satan can't beat us because we've got the high ground. We're sitting in the lap of God who has all power. Now, Satan can deceive us. Satan can harm us. But he can't take us out because we have a source of greater power, that being God himself. Satan forgot that when he tempted Jesus, that Jesus had a greater power. Revelation 12:4 says, "The dragon or Satan stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born." Satan was after Jesus right from the very beginning when he was born. He used King Herod to try to take out Jesus by killing all the babies under the age of 2. But we know that story, how Joseph took Mary and the babe and went to Egypt till Herod was dead. Satan was trying to defeat Jesus by compromise. He thought he had won when Jesus died on the cross. Going back to C.S. Lewis for a moment in his books, The Chronicles of Narnia, the White Witch laughs with glee when her enemy Aslan, which is symbolic of Christ, dies. The White Witch thinks she has won. Satan thought he had won when Jesus died on the cross. Aslan in the book rises from the dead just as Christ was raised from the dead. And to quote C.S. Lewis, "Though the witch knew the deep magic, there was a magic deeper still which she did not know. Her knowledge goes back only to the dawn of time. But if she could have looked a little further back into the stillness and darkness before time dawned, she would have known that when a willing victim who has committed no treachery, in other words, has not sinned, was killed in the traitor's place, the table would crack and death itself would start working backwards." Fancy way of putting it. On the cross, Jesus defeated Satan. The sinless God who knew no sin died in the place of us. Satan's goal has always been to defeat Christ and that which belongs to him. But Jesus knew the, quote, "the deeper power of God's plan." That power declares in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.